It's a hectic morning for me, you know, getting up earlier to fill in for Dave. But anyway, I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a sec. Today's 1/13/2019. I got that right.
Yes.
I'm Paul Balbeck III, as everybody knows, but if anybody's new out there. I'm teaching through a series on our spiritual blessings in Christ. What a blessing to know it. You know, a lot of believers don't. We're going to teach today on our being, I taught last time on our being justified in Christ. What a blessing to know that you don't got to try and earn God's acceptance. You're accepted in the beloved the moment you trusted in Christ. He declared you righteous, and it says he made him who knew no sin, Christ, to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. If you're in Christ, you are the righteousness of God in him. Your new man, if you want me to be politically correct, your new woman, your inner that new creation is completely righteous in Christ. And we got to start seeing ourselves as that, not by our behavior, but by our identity. Once you start seeing yourself like that, you start walking like that. See, I explained on Facebook this morning that I asked for prayer that I'll be teaching this morning. And I mentioned about doing a series on our spiritual blessings in Christ. I said, I didn't start out my young Christian life. I don't know, some of you know my testimony, some of you might not. I got saved watching Christian TV. I trusted that Christ died for my sins, that he was buried and he rose. I placed my faith in that. They said, you got to recognize you're a sinner. I said, no problem. I'm an honest sinner. And I believe he died for my sins. I was completely saved. I didn't know anything, but I didn't know this word. I started reading it, but I didn't know how to rightly divide it. So I knew I should start going to a church to learn, right? So what did I do? I chose a real wise way to choose my church. I looked in the neighborhood newspaper and said, oh, this one will pick you up. That's why I chose to go there. So I went to a legalistic, I found out later, Pentecostal church. And there were some wonderful believers in there. I love Pentecostals. I used to be one. But it was very legalistic. And they kept telling me, walk the aisle, make myself right with God, recommit to the commitment that I broke the week before, seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And I went every week. You know, but I wasn't easily manipulated by, you know, people saying, oh, the Holy Spirit's all on you, blah, blah, blah. But I was seeking. And then, see, that idea to get more from God, to get more. Well, I was open up to every doctrine that blew back and forth through the church. Because there's more to get from God, more power, more prosperity, you know, power over the devil. I didn't know I was complete in Christ. I didn't know I was justified, righteous in Christ. So I'm trying to clean my flesh up. I'm trying to, I didn't know that through the blood of Christ, I've been cleansed. I didn't know that. And I was a depressed, broken down, ready to give up young believer. But now, as Paul would say, someone, it started on the radio, a guy who was teaching grace, a difference law and grace. I learned my identity in Christ, that these spiritual blessings, these are part of our identity. I learned what happened. I learned I received the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1:13-14. I was sealed with the Holy Spirit the moment I believed. I didn't have to seek him with evidence of speaking in tongues. See, so when somebody tells you you got to get more from God, they don't understand what they got in Christ. So you got young people running to these this counterfeit revival thing in Toronto, and I'm trying to think what it's called. And they're there's all these supposedly miracles happening, and gold dust coming down and angel feathers, and you know, and people are shaking. They used to do that in that Pentecostal church I went to, and they can't stop. They're getting glued in the spirit. They're barking like dogs, clucking like chickens, you know, and they're being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Sad. You know, so that's why I'm teaching through this this series. Some of us know it, but we need to get stirred up, revived in our hearts. If this doesn't bless your heart, if understanding who you are in Christ, all totally undeserved, there's something wrong. And I'm not talking about getting pumped up, you know, running around the church. Hey, praise the Lord, you know. I'm not talking about like that. But if it doesn't stir you, because worship is not just your mind. It says offering our bodies. What's in our bodies? Our mind, our emotions, our thoughts, our feelings, everything to God. And it should, grace should stir us up. If I always say, you don't understand grace until grace, you don't grasp grace till grace has grasped your heart. Till you want to serve God out of grace. Not just come to church and, hello, how are you doing? Oh, praise the Lord. You know. Don't worry, I'll get to you with being short, coming up short. He'd feel bad if I didn't mention I come up short. Anyway, praise God, we have the Holy Spirit. We're complete in Christ. In Ephesians 1, verse 3, what's it say? Blessed be to God. Bless God. Bless God. Can you say bless God?
Bless God.
What do you mean it? Bless God, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ in heavenly places. He's done it. We're complete in Christ. You lack nothing. You're a part of something, the body of Christ. We're a part of one another. Look at the person next to you and tell them, you're complete in Christ. You're totally righteous in Christ. Go ahead. In Christ, if you're in Christ, you are totally righteous in Christ. Praise God. Now let's start looking at each other. We're unconditionally loved in Christ. Look at the one next to you. Love them unconditionally. We're one many members, one body. That's grace truth. Now, I'm so glad I'm indwelled with the Holy Spirit. You know why? I forgot my notes. I told Mary I can't forget my Bible. I put my briefcase by the door, and I must have left my notes on the thing. But praise God, I stay in this word. Like Paul told Timothy, be prepared in season out. So I know what I was going to teach on. First, it was sanctification. That's one spiritual blessing. And see, the Holy Spirit can bring to my mind because I've been studying the Word of God. I've been studying, preparing. So we're going to look at the spiritual blessing of being sanctified. You're a saint. You are a saint, a set apart one. Praise God. How does that work? You know, we're going to look at that. And then, what's the mechanics of that? We're going to look at, we died who we were in Adam. We were buried. You're no longer in Adam. You'll never come back. Now, that sin nature is still in us. Don't let somebody tell you, oh, you don't have a sin nature. Paul said, what I want to do, I don't do. Everybody struggles. But see, when you struggle with the sin nature, the same chapter that tells you, you died with Christ. You were buried. You bury a dead person. They ain't coming back. You know, you don't just resuscitate them, bring them back. You're a whole new creation. If you like the King James, you're a whole new creature. To me, that just, I don't know. I remember creature features and that word. So I like the term. It's the same idea. You're a new creation. You're not who you were. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new in Christ. So we're going to look at one of our spiritual blessings is we died with Christ. Died to who we were in Adam. We were buried and we rose with Christ. Next week we're going to get into how we're ascending with Christ and seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's more spiritual blessings. Yeah. So let go to Galatians. We're going to look at sanctification. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Who are you? Can I ask it? Think about it while you're looking. Who are you? I used to tell that to the little kids. My sister babysit. I go, who are you? They says, oh, I'm Tommy Smith. No, who are you? What? That's what people think. Who you are is by what you do. Who you are is how who you were born into this world by. Who you are is your career. Who you are is an athlete. Who you are is a mother. Who you are is a father. Who you are is a model. Now that was funny, isn't it? Because I ain't no model, especially with this gut. I can model, extra large jeans now. This, find out who you are. Who it doesn't matter what other people say you are. If they say, "Oh, you're a hyper-dispensationalist, you're a Jesus freak, you're ugly, you're whatever, you're a failure," it doesn't matter. It matters what God says. Your Father says you're His children. That's who you are. I'm not a mid-Acts dispensationalist, Pauline, understanding Paul's gospel. I'm a child of God that studies dispensationally, that studies from the mid-Acts position. See, because if your identity is based in the grace movement, then if the grace movement goes off, you're going to go off. Get your identity based on what God says. And you will be a mid-Acts Pauline grace believer if you study the word how God says, right? But that's how you study. That's not who you are. You're a child of God. You're a saint. We're going to look at that. So Galatians 3:26. Jacob, could you give me some water, please? For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Did you place your faith in Christ? What are you? Who are you? Child of God. Period. And you know what being a child of God means too? You're a member of the body of Christ. You're in Christ. He's in you. You're in union with Him. And you're a part of each other. We're a part of each other. You say, but I don't like that person. It don't matter. If you don't like your toes, it's still part of your body. Right? Stinky toes. Right? Still need it. Still need them, right? You are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, here at our church, we understand the word baptism doing the worship today, serving God through, when we serve others, we're serving God. My stepson, I better check it. He might want to get me back. Throw a little X-lax in there or something, you know? So, we know baptized, that's why I love going to the Greek, the original language, and then we know what a word means. We know if a Bible translation translates that word correctly. Baptized means being identified with or placed into. So here, this is a spiritual baptism, we're going to see. It's not a water baptism. Were you baptized into Christ by water? Were you buried with Him by water? Was He buried in water?
No.
No. You see? You know what's the problem? The church today, through the years, remember Paul said, all those in Asia have turned from me, even while I was alive? What do you mean him? His message that Christ gave him uniquely, His gospel. They weren't turning away from Christ. What were they turning to? back to the kingdom program. So repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, like Peter preached to the kingdom, to the nation Israel, actually. Right? So now what do they say? Baptism places you in the body of Christ, son. And then you'll have the Baptists, you know, since I'm not picking on anybody today, but I mentioned the Pentecostals, and the Baptists go, yeah, we don't speak in tongues today. Oh yeah, but do you want to baptize? You're following Peter. You're not following Paul. Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Not as a testimony. Ain't that what they teach today? I was taught that. I got baptized twice. Once as a kid, once after I was saved. Because they told me, see, I follow traditions of men. Until I learn. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. So today, we're baptized into Christ. How? By the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at that. Go to 1 Corinthians 12:13. Just a book or so back. Book back. 1 Corinthians, two books. See, I'm still listening to my wife. She says, repeat the verses. For by one Spirit, who's that? What Spirit is that? The Holy Spirit. We are all baptized into one body. See, it's not water, it's a spiritual baptism. If I had time, we could go into Colossians. It says we've been circumcised with the circumcision without hands. And then he talks about baptism. Well, that's without hands too. It's the Holy Spirit takes us out of, God takes us out of Adam. We'll look at that in a sec. And we're buried. We die who we were in Adam. And now he places us in the Christ. And now we're identified with him, what? In his resurrected, risen, glorified head of the body. Paul said we knew Christ in the flesh, but we don't know him like that no more. We know him as Israel's Messiah. They had to believe that. Then they had to get baptized to be saved. We don't have to do that. We believe what? That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he died. Paul said that's what was given to him from Christ in the dispensation of grace for the Gentiles or Jews today. Because everybody's a Gentile. You know why? The nation Israel, with the stoning of Stephen, God began setting that nation aside. They're just like any other nation today. You know how they're asking for commercials on TV? Oh, help God's special people? Today, they ain't God's special people. You know what God's special people are? The body of Christ today. Now, after the rapture, God will start his prophetic clock again. He stopped it with the saving of the Apostle Paul. He stopped that kingdom prophetic early program, and he began a new program, right? That was hid in other ages, Paul tells us. It was never known. It was hid before the world began. The kingdom message, Peter's message, was what? He said this was spoken of what? Samuel and on. This was spoken by Joel the prophet. It was known, right? Praise God that we're in a church that teaches that. Praise God for our pastor that stood for this grace message for how long? You know, you don't think he gets attacked? You don't think Satan attacks him? I pray for him every morning. I pray for you all every morning. I hope you're praying for me. You know, if you ain't got to say, well, I don't know what to pray for. Pray for me. I can use it. So we see that for by one Spirit we are all baptized, so placed into, identified, in the one body. We're placed in the one body. Listen to this. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink in one Spirit. For the body is not one, but many members. So the moment we trusted in Christ, Holy Spirit took us and placed us into the body of Christ. Now we're going to look at, go to Romans chapter 6. Or first, go to Galatians 2:20, then Romans 6. Galatians 2:20 is Romans 6 in a nutshell. Galatians 2:20. I better keep this water over here, right? The pastor uses this taller one, which is no. And sometime I'll put the water here and he goes, the big man comes and picks it up. You know, he looks to see if any young chicks are looking in the church first. And anyways, I don't want the water to fall. What did I say, Galatians 2:20? Paul says, now some translation will, in the King James it says, I am. Some translations will say, I have been. Well, they're both right, because it's in the, I believe it's in the perfect tense. It means I have been and continue to be. I am crucified with Christ. Well, what do you mean I'm crucified with Christ? When did I get crucified with Christ? Did you get some nails put in your hands?
No.
Were you on the cross next to him? No, see how you got to think things through? You got to ask questions, you got to pray. Always, never study the Bible without asking God to illumine your mind through His Holy Spirit, because that's one of His ministries to us. We're going to look at how we're crucified with Christ in a minute. We're going to look at the mechanics of that. Because if you don't know these things, you know, you're going to try, and don't you hear that? You got to crucify yourself, right? You got to die to your sins. You'll hear that. I hear it all the time. Listen to Christian radio. Well, if you spike one hand, how are you going to spike this one? See, you were crucified with Christ. You died with Christ. You know why? He died your death. He was dying for your sins and my sins. And the moment you trusted in that, we'll see. God identified you there. See, Christ says, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them, right? Does that mean everybody's saved? No. Because Paul says, be reconciled to God. How do you do that? You agree with God. You place your faith that's what he did. Christ died for your sins personally. Not, you know how many people in churches are not saved? They know about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus as their Savior. They've never trusted in it. They know all the facts. The young people, they could go out there and argue with the Acts people who believe the church started in Acts 2, which most of them out there, and they could show them how it started with the raising up of the Apostle Paul. That church was added to. So that meant a church was in. It wasn't something new. That one had nothing to do with Gentiles. That was all Israel. But they ain't saved. You can know all this, you know, churchianity terminology and not be saved. It's not till you trust. That's when God identifies you with his death, places you into it, into his burial, and you rise with Christ as a new creation. And now you're seated with him in heavenly places. And that's what we got to know. You know why? So we can start not only looking up. We need to do that, because any time Christ can come back, can he? I mean, sometime we get, yeah, he could have came back yesterday and might come back today. I don't know. It could. We don't know. You know, Bob George, who I learned a lot of things about, he wrote the book Classic Christianity. He was an Acts 2 dispensationalist, but I learned so much from him. I can learn, my old pastor said, more from people I disagree with than people I agree with. But boy, did he know your identity in Christ. And he had the greatest illustrations, and it helped me so much, you know. And I asked him, is there anything you want prayer for? Because I met him. I went to some seminars and things that, you know. And he said, yeah, that I don't get apathetic about God's grace. And I pray that all the time, and you should pray it. God, don't let me get apathetic. Don't let me take it for granted. Don't let me get bored with it. Keep me zealous. Keep me revived, Lord. Revival is when God's people inwardly get revived. When you're revived and you got a zeal and you got a passion, you reach out to the lost. You reach out to the saved. You want to build them up in edification, and you want to see them freed by God's grace to serve God, not in their flesh, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. So Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. See, I died with Christ, but I live. How's that work? I'm dead, I live, dead, I live. Is Paul schizophrenic? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Doctor told me one time, I went and seen him, and he says, you got split personality. And I says, no, I don't. Yes, I do. No, I forgot. It's as good as a pastor, some of this. Anyway, Paul's not schizophrenic. He died with Christ, he knew that. And you got to know that. You died with Christ if you're in Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Well, how do we live? How do we live the Christian life? Not in my own resources, not in my own strength, but Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. Christ lives in you. Christ lives. I love this in a nutshell. I put a lot on Facebook. Christ died for us. Why? To deal with our sins, past, present, and future. Because the wages of sin is death. If it's not dealt with, when we sin, we would spiritually die like Adam did. But Christ said it's finished. So Christ gave his life for us, so he could, in his resurrection, give his life to us. Why? Because he needs a place to stay in your side of town? Because he wants to live his life through us. We're his body. Many members, right? One body. Christ is a head. You're his hand. You reach out to the lost. You're his mouth. You encourage the saved. You edify the saved. Christ wants to use us. Do you know, I'm reading where it says, it is God who works in us, both to will and to do. See, he don't overrule our will. He works within our will to do his good pleasure. That means it's his good pleasure to want to work in and through us. Don't that give you pleasure to give God pleasure? Don't you want to? We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. When you understand his grace, all these spiritual blessings, totally undeserved, I want to serve a God like that. I remember as a young, burnt out Pentecostal and saying, God, you know, I don't want to serve you until I do it out of love. And I remember getting so burnt out saying, I remember laying in the bed in the penthouse. No, I had a little bedroom in my mom's second floor. The bachelor pad. Anyway, but laying there, burnt, spiritually burnt out, and saying, God, I'm sick of trying. If I'm going to live this Christian life, you're going to have to do it. That's when I started listening on the radio and hearing about grace. And I'm like, I ain't heard this stuff before. You're completely forgiven. You know, God, 1 John 1:9 isn't to unbelievers. It's not to believers. It's to an unbeliever. That you're totally justified in Christ. That you're new. I'm like, but God, I don't care what I've been taught. I don't care what they're saying. I want to know what you say. And I studied this and I looked into it and I said, it's true, God. I can, now I'm free to serve you in love. And I don't got to depend on myself. I depend on Christ in me to live out of me. And there's a joy to Christian life. You know how many people are going to be leave church today whipped and beat, trying to serve God, and come to the point that I did? But maybe there ain't somebody out there that's going to tell them about God's grace. Well, I don't. You ever meet somebody? I tried Christianity. It didn't work. No. They tried religion. They tried legalism. And it don't work. So he says, not I, but Christ who lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh. So I live in this body. I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So again, here people have disagreements, you know, because Bible translations. You know, some will say, I live by faith in the Son of God. And then, like our pastor believes that this is in Christ's faithfulness. And I see this boat. We live, our faith is in Christ's faithfulness because we depend on Him to be faithful to live through us. That's a Christian life. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. Maybe I do better without notes because I think I've finished in good time today. Excuse me. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. First, I want to make a point. You could do this on your own. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. What does Paul call them, right? To the saints. Were they good boys and girls? They were carnal, weren't they? Weren't they?
Yeah.
They were having sex with temple prostitutes. One guy, I believe it was his mother, because Paul said that not even the pagans do what he was doing. He's having sex with either his stepmother or his mother. They were suing each other. They were devouring one another. And so were the Galatians started because of legalism. But what does he tell them? Right away, to the saints. You are saints before he deals with any behavior. How did you become a saint? What does saint mean? Set apart. Has the same root word as holy. See, God is holy. He's set apart from everything. He's over everything. But a saint is one who's been set apart. How were you set apart? The moment you believe, you are indwelt and sealed by the Holy Spirit. That's God's seal of ownership. It shows we're His children. It shows we're a member of the body of Christ. Now, how does that work out? See, I like to know how things work. I like to know the mechanics of things. I don't like just to know about things. I like to know the details when it comes to Scripture and living a Christian life. And like, I train dogs, so I like to know how a dog thinks. And, you know, Scripture, yeah, you know. I like to, it's really confusing, you know, understanding my wife. You know, the Holy Spirit helps me with that one, too. Well, you ladies should be able to relate. It's hard to understand your husband, right?
Yeah.
You know. Praise God. I know one thing God showed me, what a loving wife I got. Faithful. I always want to honor her. And you ladies should want to honor your husbands whether they deserve it or not. And husbands, we need to love our wives whether they deserve it or not. Because we don't always deserve it, right? Your husband wants to be your knight in shining armor. Someone asked me, I won't say who it was, she knows who it is. The husband don't come to church. I said, suppose they're a believer. I said, start asking them questions. See, men want to be your hero. Men want to be you to look up to them, respect them. You start asking them questions, what's that going to make them want to do? Look them up, the answers. Maybe come to church and learn so he can be your hero. But you don't wait till he's acting or she's acting. You love and respect them. We forgive. Why? Because God forgave us. Dearly beloved. Why do we love? Because God loves us unconditionally. See how grace works? It's very practical. People go, doctrine ain't very practical. Oh, very practical. Works in your marriage. It works in your attitudes, your mental health, your emotional health. All right, let's go to Romans chapter 6, verse 1. And this is the mechanics of that. How did we, remember earlier we read, I am crucified with Christ? How were we crucified with Christ? Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Because isn't that what a carnal believer always asks a grace believer? So you're telling me I could just go sin, do anything, kill somebody, and still be forgiven, right? And I always tell them, did I say that? Who you want to kill? The only reason you ain't want to kill somebody is because what? God, you think God's going to punish you? It ain't because you love them? And love does no harm? So Paul's dealing with that. And as grace believers, we'll deal with this all the time. And that's where we need the patience of God. You know, I got a new puppy for Christmas. I don't know if anybody's seen on the Facebook. She's an American Bully, and I'm a bullheaded, and I'm housebreaking her. And you could ask Mary, you could ask Jake or Chris. I'm not a very patient person, naturally. You know, and then I was praying about it. And I said, Lord, you know, I'm not, my dad wasn't, but I can't blame on him because it goes all the way back to Adam. When he sinned, we got a sinful nature. So here's appropriating by faith these truths that we're studying. Well, the dog ain't going to the bathroom. She keeps licking snow, and I'm thinking she's going to pee more now in the house. So I'm, Raka, go pay. Go pay. And I don't want to mess her up, you know, stress, like, go over. You know, when we're impatient, aren't we? Right? So I don't want to be like that with her. She's a puppy. She's learning, right? So I go, God, you know, I'm not a patient person, but Christ in me is patient. Lord, be patient to the puppy. See its dependence on Him. And guess what? I wasn't all impatient. I've learned when I stand in line to pray, because I don't like standing in line. I'm like, man. And then the lady gets out her coupon book, right? With 50 coupons. And then you're looking for another line, and there's another lady there doing her coupons, you know. And I've learned to pray. And now some I'm not impatient. Because when you focus on the Lord, the Holy Spirit's going to produce fruit in our lives. Okay, go to Romans 6. So Paul's saying, and then he says, God forbid. And I want to say, that is not in any manuscript. So I know people, there's people who teach that King James is a perfect Bible. Well, this one thing can show you it's not. That's not in one manuscript. I'm sorry if I get anybody upset, but I'm not here to please anybody. I'm here to speak the truth in love. What's in the manuscripts, it's certainly not. Now, what the King James translator is trying to do is give the force. But isn't it wrong? Because they say, oh, the other Bibles, they delete, they omit verses. Well, isn't it wrong to add to the Word of God something ain't there? But see, they won't give the same comparisons to their translation they worship. But anyway, that's got nothing to do with this. So God forbid, or certainly not, how shall we that are dead to sin live in it any longer? Now you got to think through what that word sin means. Is that talking about plural sins? No, it's a sin nature. It's singular. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in it? Know ye not. See? This is a problem today. People aren't being taught what happened. See, when I trusted in Christ, nobody taught me that now I was a new creation, that I died who I was in Adam, that I'm holy, beloved, perfect in God's sight, that I'm a saint now. Nobody taught me that. I didn't learn that for years later. That's when I started getting victory in my life. And don't get me wrong, I don't walk around with the halo head. I always come up short every day, right, Bill? Okay. And more than one way. Ways. Short, you know. My halo, you know, gets all bent up and, you know. She's shorter than me. That's one of the reasons I kind of thought she was cute. I had taller women used to like me, and I'm like, what do you think, I'm a little teddy bear or something like that? I always liked little cute ladies, and I married one beautiful lady. Anyway, God forbid, how shall we, see, when you understand what happened what transpired, what God did, this, your mind gets renewed and you get transformed. He says, know ye not that as many as us as were baptized, so think not water, placed into or identified in the Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. How does that work? The moment you trusted that Christ died for my sin, see, not just I know about it, I trust. God sees you as crucified with Christ. Because why? He's dying your death. He's dying for your sins. Mine. So God sees you in Adam. Your sinful nature, everything is being crucified. We're no longer in Adam. I'm not saying we don't got a sin nature. But God dealt with that too. The power of sin's been broke. We'll see. So he died our death. God placed us into or identified us the moment you believed. That's why, because Christ died for all the world, right? Everybody's not saved. No. Because they haven't identified themselves with his death. The moment you identified that he's dying my death, God places you into it. And that ain't it. I mean, that ain't all. Like Paul says, his words, exceedingly, abundantly, but now. Therefore, we were buried with him. Was that water? Was he buried in water? You see how they've twisted it? Even what baptism really meant, when it was in vogue. Anyway, baptism, and therefore we were buried with him by baptism or identification in the death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. That word life there is Zoe in the Greek. It means a quality of life. It's not what you're doing. That's bios. My bios is I used to do drugs. Now I go to church. I changed my bios. Zoe means a quality of life. It's the kind of life that God has, spiritual life. It's the kind of life that Christ has, resurrection life. You have resurrection life in you. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you, Christ, resurrected. Boy, what that will do for our walks. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? Therefore, let me keep going because I got to close out. So it's walking in that new quality of life, who you are. You have resurrected life, who you are in Christ. For if we have been planted, or the idea united together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. We died who we were in Adam. We rose a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. You feel like a new creation? I don't all the time. But our emotions respond to our thoughts. When you believe what God says, you'll feel it. Some people go, I don't feel like I'm forgiven. So they don't feel forgiven. When you believe what God says, you'll feel forgiven. Because your emotions will naturally respond to it. Now listen to this. So we died who we were in Adam. We're buried. We rose as new creations. But let me ask you something. Inwardly, we're new creations. Have our bodies got changed? They still got that sin nature in them. But inwardly, are you going to get anything else at the rapture? Are you going to get more spiritually? No. You already are the righteousness of Christ, of God in Christ. You're not going to get more spiritual life. You're just going to get a new body. So until then, God has provided a complete package of victory over the sin nature. It's there, but we don't have to give in to it. Go to the next verse and I'm closing. So you got to know something. Knowing this, that our old man, who we were in Adam, is crucified with him. Why? That the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, that word destroyed, does that sound like some people teach perfectionism, right? Oh, you don't got a sin nature no more. Well, that's a bunch of bull, according to Scripture. It's the same word when it said Satan, that Christ destroyed him. His power. The cross broke the power of sin over us. And how do you apply that? It's the last verse and I'm closing. Go to verse 9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death no more has dominion over him. For in that he died to unto sin once. It's finished. But in that sin, the sin nature, he died for our sins, but he died to the sin nature once, that in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, in the same way, right? Reckon, what does reckon mean? Calculate the facts. God said you died with Christ, you were buried, you rose, calculate it, meditate on it, rely upon it, count it. That's reckoning. When you get tempted, you say, I reckon myself dead to that. That's not me anymore. And I present myself to God. Now I'm not struggling against sin, I'm rejoicing in the Lord. See, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Why? Because you died with Christ. Do you feel that? No, it's something you know. Paul said, don't you know, brethren? I don't want you to be ignorant. But alive, so likewise reckon ye also yourself be dead indeed innocent, unto sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm going to close up now. I hope this has been beneficial to you. Even if you know this stuff, what does Paul say? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing. That's over and over of our minds. So I hope it's been a blessing. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, what a blessing of your grace. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We don't deserve it. We're complete in him. We belong. We belong to you and we belong to each other. We don't need to be in a gang to feel like we got to belong, because we're in the greatest spiritual organism this whole world's ever seen. I pray, Father, if there's one who's never trusted in Christ, maybe they've been in church their whole life and they know about him, but they don't know him personally. They don't have a relationship. I pray that right now, in the silence of their heart, they'll agree with you. And I'll just tell you, I agree, God. Christ died for my sins, because I'm a sinner. And that your Spirit will come in and dwell them and make them into a new creation. May everything done here today that I taught, and also that the pastor will, I pray you empower him, anoint him from within to minister to us, Father. And may everything bring your Son glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.